It is a locally owned grocery store competing for the consumer dollar with corporate giants. And so we ask, how does a local grocery store survive in a land of corporate giants?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,395th edition of the Food Chain Radio Program podcast. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Paphos who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. But whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, the marketplace has not been kind to locally owned grocery stores. Over the past few decades, 40% of them have succumbed to the competition of corporate giants. Yet some have found a way to survive. The locally owned Staff of Life Natural Food Store is one of the survivors. Picture this. One literal stone's throw to the northeast stands one of the nation's fastest growing grocery discounters. One half stone's throw to the northwest lands on one of the America's iconic supermarket brands. And three stone's throws to the west stands a huge natural food supermarket owned by one of America's biggest tech billionaires. Though the competition for consumers' food dollars from corporate giants is ferocious, Staff of Life still stands. Clearly, this grocer is doing something right, and so we ask. How does a local grocery store survive in a land of corporate giants? Well, here to help us find an answer, we have Gary Baskow, who, along with Richard Josephson, is the founder of Staff of Life Natural Food Markets in Santa Cruz and Watsonville, California. Gary, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
Got to move right up on that microphone there.
Thank you.
There you go. That's a good thank you. Well, Gary, first of all, congratulations. Staff of Life is celebrating its 56th year in business this weekend. So does celebrating another year in business ever grow old?
I don't think so. I think it's a milestone every year you survive in business and you can be around. And so it's a celebration, I think.
A worthy celebration, my goodness. 56 celebrations. Do you remember your first year in business celebration?
Well, we started out in 1969, and we were in a small little 750 square feet building off of Seabright Avenue. Mm-hmm. So don't remember celebrating it too much because I remember we were working pretty hard. We started as a bakery, and we were baking, and then at the same time, we were delivering. And so we had our product up in San Francisco. So many times we'd be there at 12 midnight baking, and the same early in the morning, sure, driving to San Francisco to deliver the product. So.
Well, after 56 years of this, now you're opened up a new career as a farmer. My goodness, what made you make that leap from local grocer to local farmer and doing both at the same time?
Right. Well, Staff of Life has always been dedicated to organics. We started out in 1969 using organic flour, which at a time was there was no certification process. So a gentleman in the city named Al Justos volunteered to go back to the Midwest and check on the farms, make sure they were growing the flour, organically. And so we have been in the organic movement since 1969. Prior to that, I think a couple years, Alan Chadwick came to the university in 1967. So that has been the beginning. In 1974, we bought a farm up with a group of people in the Santa Cruz Mountains up in Happy Valley, and we were growing organically then, and we were certified by CCOF at its very beginnings, and we were number 8 on the list of
very
organic
early.
Farms.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what seems to tie your local grocery and your local farm together is local. So what does that local mean to you, Gary Baskow?
Well, it means a lot because we're a part of the local community. We're a part of keeping the community alive and vibrant, and we employ over 100 people from the local community, and we sell our crops and in the local community as much as possible. In fact, what we grow, we really will sell mostly at Staff Alive, and we're not in the business of distributing our farm products, but it's local is a very important part of any community, and supporting your local businesses is a very important part of a local community, a vibrant community that keeps its diversity, keeps its, you know, cultural happening. And so we're very proud to be part of that community.
I guess it's the lifeblood of a real community when it gets right down to it, because without that localness, we're all just kind of atoms floating around with nothing to hold us together. It gets right down to it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like 60% around that of the people employed in a community are employed in local businesses. So that's a big part of the employment end of the community. It also keeps the community, you know, not being just another corporate town. It gives its character to the community, and I think so it plays a very important part in any community. And once a community loses that, I think it loses some of its identity and becomes just another big box town or big store.
I once had a meeting with an advanced person for a circus. Had a little circus coming to town here in Santa Cruz, California. And we sat down and had a conversation. He said, you know, Michael, I'm having trouble knowing where I'm at. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, every town is just exactly like the last town I was in, except for one. And that's Santa Cruz, California. And I guess that's part of what having somebody fight for that localness is pretty important, because it really does make the little community stand out in a very fascinating way. Gary Baskow, 56 years ago, you opened a grocery store by offering consumers something different. What was that something different 56 years ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, just in a point of fact, those were wild times. 1969. My goodness, there was a lot of cultural upheaval. Nobody knew what was going on. And you opened a grocery store, opened a bakery.
Yeah. Yeah, we started out mainly as a bakery, and that sort of goes back to my heritage. You know, my father was a baker, my grandfather was a baker. And his father was a baker, and this goes all the way back to...
So Gary said, gee, I wonder what I'm going to do when I grow up.
Yeah. Well, my family didn't really want me to go in the baking business, but there was an opportunity for... I had gotten actually sick in North Africa with hepatitis, and I was in a recuperating period, so I was living in London at the time, came back to Santa Cruz, just kick back and recuperate, and a bakery came up. My father had passed away, and I sort of thought, wow, this is kind of strange, sort of passing on of the torch, so to speak. And so we started baking European whole grain breads.
Whole grain breads?
Yes.
Wow, that must have been... Those were the white bread days.
Yeah, Wonder Bread was the number one bread in the United States. While I was recuperating in London, I'd really gotten into health foods over there, and so I carried that tradition over here, and I always tell people, you know, I didn't start a business. I started out a business based upon health, and I didn't start out with the cheapest product trying to sell a cheap product. I tried to sell a quality, healthy product. So the breads I was selling in the markets and stuff was the most expensive bread in the market, but it was the healthiest bread. And so we've carried that tradition on in our bakery. We still use organic flours. From that bakery, we had to get grains. We had to have multi-grain breads and things like that. We started selling bulk. So bulk came
selling
in first.
Bulk?
Yes.
Bulk what?
Bulk flours, bulk grains, and then it went into beans and just to where we have...
Now you have licorice in bulk.
Yeah. We have liquid bulk. We have... almost anything you could think of as far as the flours are concerned, the sugars, the sweeteners, the honeys, all of that in bulk, peanut butters in bulk and everything. In fact, it's a great way to buy because as far as you're not putting any more plastic out, you can bring your jar and we'll tear it out and you can fill up your jar with anything, your favorite flour or your flavored popcorn if you want to put bulk popcorn we have. So we, nuts, you name it. We also have a large variety of bulk spices. So you don't have.
And you still have this bulk program.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Now, it seems like those bulk foods developed a community for you of customers because there were a certain kind of people going, oh, I can get this in bulk. At Staff of Life, as compared to buying it processed into a package at a supermarket.
Yeah. No, we actually have quite a large clientele that buys in bulk. It's actually one of the parts of the business that is growing pretty well. At first in Watsonville, I was a little hesitant on it, but we still did the same amount of selection. And now we're reaching out into the Latino community down there and offering bulk sales on or trying to get them to get off the pesticide-related foods and get into organic foods in bulk, which follows a lot of their tradition because if you go down into Mexico, a lot of purchases are done in markets where...
Right. It's the way things are done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in 60s, late 60s, early 70s, there was a whole community of people who were attracted to Staff of Life. I was one of them back then, but don't tell anybody. it was a community of people that kind of grew up around Staff of Life. And as time went on, that the product line started reaching out to more a general population as it went. And today, I see a lot of people who I would otherwise see in a supermarket shopping in Staff of Life.
Yeah, well, we weren't a full-service store to begin with, but now we are a full-service store.
Good.
So that helps a lot. We do sell, seafood, and we have a receiver's license, so we can buy directly from the boats.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll pick that up when we come back. Folks, okay. This is the Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson, with Staff of Life owner Gary Baskow, and how a local grocer can survive today.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back, but we're way back with Gary Baskow, who is the co-founder of Staff of Life Natural Foods Market in Santa Cruz and Watsonville, California. And we're kind of listening to Gary talk about how he grew from way back there in 1969 and evolved into a local supermarket or local grocery store that is surviving competition that seems to be surrounding you everywhere you look. And so, Gary, we were talking about how you really started with a bakery and then quickly outgrew that little bakery and had to move into a storefront. And there you're in really in business now. So you have bulk foods, you have bakery goods, and you start expanding to bringing other foods into the mix?
Yeah, we started out as, like I say, we started out as a bakery. The bakery grew to where we were doing significant amount of deliveries into the Bay Area. And then from that, we sort of grew into being selling in bulk first, and then we started to bring in other products. We moved to a larger storefront on Water Street. We were half the building at one time, then we became the whole building, and then we took over the building next to that and created a vitamin supplement department with natural cosmetics and dealt with a, bringing in produce from local farmers and things like that. And as the organic movement and CCOF came in 1970.
Were these foods that were popular in your store, were they found in supermarkets?
At that time, not at all. Organic, you couldn't even find organic in a traditional supermarket.
Right. Now what about the not so much health and beauty aids, not so much bulk? So you were crafting a whole new world of retail grocery when it gets right down to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still think in the bulk department, I mean, we've got the biggest bulk department by far and away in the county, and when I travel around, even in the Bay Area, our bulk department's bigger than, I could only think of a couple other markets that are of our size as selling in bulk. But yeah, we've always sort of been that feeling that, it's much better to buy in bulk instead of get your products all wrapped in plastic, which means that, we can buy a bulk sack of beans and put it in there, and instead of having it going through a whole processing system and packaging, and by the time the consumer gets to it, it could be weeks old to a month, mm-hmm.
And local produce. When did you start working with local farmers?
Well, because of the university and Alan Chadwick coming into the university, we actually had a beginning local farming organic movement that was started here in CCOF, California Certified Organic Farmers. They started here in Santa Cruz too. So Santa Cruz has always been sort of a hub of the beginning in the state of California, of sort of the starter of the whole organic movement. And still today, I think if you go in the Watsonville area where you have, you'll have some of the biggest growers of organic foods in the country that are shipping all over Lakeside Organic.
And if you want to know what difference that makes, try to buy some good organic food on the East Coast. Wow. What a difference. We live in a food paradise here in the Monterey Bay Area. It's truly extraordinary. And then at that time, the produce was natural produce. We kind of looked at it as produce that was unadulterated with pesticides and whatnot, right? And because of the efforts of people like you, we developed this name organic, and it became an official legal word definition for food. That's when things really started to take off with respect to produce, correct?
Yeah, I think it became more, I mean, it's still a very small percentage of the mainstream of produce, but it started to grow, and it grew in natural food stores. During the early 70s and in the 60s, there was a whole group of natural food stores that sprung up in the Bay Area and Berkeley, Holy Foods in Berkeley. There is a lot of these that are no longer in existence anymore. Right. But there was a whole sort of small little chain that started buying up the organic, bought my breads, and were concerned with buying organic produce. And there was a small group of growers that were growing it for that particular group of stores, and then it sort of started to go into mainstream markets slowly, and now I think most markets do have an organic food section. At Staff of Life, we have a full produce section where all the produce is basically organic in the store.
Right. And then you also brought in meats.
We started out... We were originally vegetarian. Then when we brought in the meats, kind of caused a little...
Tell us about that. Wave. I have to hear about that. I was always wondered about it.
Yeah. We went through we got some backlash, let's just say.
Yeah.
And a little boycotting, but we persevered through it, feeling that, the meats that we bring in... they don't have any antibiotics or hormones in them. They're all clean. The animals are fairly treated. So, and we bring a high quality, of our Piedmontese beef. We're really proud of that, which is quite a bit lower in saturated fats than traditional beef. And we're pretty proud of our seafood and meat department as far as the quality is concerned, and that we're not torturing any animals as far as...
it seems to me like I wonder whether the consumers are bringing you along, or are you bringing the consumers along? Who's teaching who how we should do this food business?
Well, I think Staff of Life has always been a teacher. I think both Richard and I actually were teachers, substitute teachers at one time prior to starting. So I think we've always been at the forefront of being a good teacher. And I think so we brought a lot of people along with us. And then, the media's gotten more and more, and it's finally, probably 5 or 6 issues back, Consumer Report came out and just basically said that eating organic was a lot healthier for you. People are starting to put a label of, like, pesticides do cause cancer. They do contribute to autoimmune diseases and stuff like that. So it's starting to become more aware that the food you put in your body is really contributing to, how healthy of a life you're living, or how long you're living, actually.
And so it's become public knowledge that eating the right kinds of things leads to a better life.
I think
it was a mystery. We didn't know. And now we know, and it was a lot because of the reason we know is because of people like you at Staff of Life and other stores who have been fighting for this position in the mind of the marketplace, like wily marketeers, and it's really made a difference in the foods that we eat. And do you think that that's part of the reason people still come to you, instead of all of those giants that surround you?
Well, that's one of the reasons. And one of the reasons is that we're very tied into the local farmers, so that when you buy produce at Staff of Life, it's amazing that sometimes it's picked that morning and delivered directly to us. Whereas a lot of these, our competition, are going through distribution centers. So it was like when I was talking to the owner of Lakeside Organic, he was telling me, well, he's only a mile from the store. He says, we go from our place directly to you. He said, I sell to other people. They take it all the way up to their distribution center. And he says, by the time it comes back to Watsonville and goes to like Knob Hill or Safeway or something like that, he said it can be 7 to 10 days old.
Yes.
Similar product. But so we're in direct delivery to most of the local farms. So it's our produce is very fresh. And
people know about that.
And people know about that. So I think that's it helps. And then we, you know, if you're a local person and you come up with some kind of a cool product that, you know, with Annie's cheese dip and things like that, we're local producers of products. It's easy for you to just come to Staff Life and we'll accept you. And, you know, you don't have to go through any big corporate structure.
So that localness permeates just about everything you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Making a big, huge difference. When you upgraded your storefronts, you opened a new store, then you opened a bigger store in Santa Cruz, and then you opened an entirely new store in Watsonville. Now, these two communities are not the same communities. These are two different worlds. How did you go about integrating your Santa Cruz community into that Watsonville community, which is just a different world?
Yeah. It's been tough at first. And, you know, it hasn't been the southern part of Santa Cruz County is really the part that has the worst, the people that live down there have the worst, health conditions.
They're the workers.
They're the workers. They're the ones that are out in the fields. Mm-hmm. There's a high level of diabetes.
Up in Santa Cruz, you have university people and high-tech people from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So there's just two different worlds.
Yeah, and you have a high level of diabetes down there. And so it felt that we needed to be down there to present an alternative to what was basically down there in the grocery store business in Watsonville, which has not been really that healthy or health-orientated. But there's also a movement of people moving down that way, too. Yes, Santa Cruz has gotten a little bit too expensive. People have moved down to the Watsonville-Corralitos area. And so it's been slowly growing. It's taken us a while to kind of break into the market, but we're actually having the best year we've had down there now, and it's good. Starting to go in the right direction. So
that means you're back in the education business, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. And
are you having luck teaching the farm worker community about the value of eating good, clean, organic food?
Well, luckily, the farm labor community is helping us, too, because they are very, very concerned. And if you were noticed in our good times, they just had a huge article on a big rally that was in Watsonville concerning pesticides and the health of their children and the pesticides and the health of farm workers that are getting sick from the pesticides, children that are getting sick from it. Some kind of shocking statistics that I wasn't even aware of. The one I can remember is there is a 38% higher brain cancer in children in the Paro Valley area, second highest in the state of California. So the pesticides are affecting the kids that are going to school down there. There's a big movement to try to get the fields. There's quite a few of the fields next to the school are still using pesticide sprays. So
in effect, you have your Staff of Life in the right place with the right product. And all you have to do is persevere, and the market will eventually come to you.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. And the market has started to come to us this year. We're we're celebrating our fourth year, the first three. So the first 4 years were a little rocky, but now it is definitely starting to happen down there. People are becoming aware of it. They're becoming aware that pesticides are not good for you. And so we're your organic store. We're the ones that are selling all the organic products. So it's in the bulk being a very reasonable way to go with and that's mainly organic too. So it's
this makes sense.
Yep.
And you just have to figure out how to get that sense into the community's mind, and they'll go, well, what other choice is there when it gets right down to it?
Now, we have reached out into Latino radio programs too, and have advertisement in Spanish to try to reach them and talk about pesticides. And we throw big sales on their staples, like their beans and rice and stuff. We talk about it on the local Spanish radio.
How about the Anglo community of Watsonville, which is pretty set in its ways as well?
Yeah. That part has been the easiest to break into, you know. And also Mount Madonna was down there, so we had customers that would drive all the way to Santa Cruz for us.
Good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we're here with Gary Baskow, who's the co-founder of Staff of Life. It is Staff of Life Organic, or is it the Staff of Life Natural? Well, either way works. Staff of Life Organic or Staff of Life Naturals. That's what we have.
Yep.
And we will be right back to talk a little bit about the future of local grocers in this world.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city, for the city.
Port Ideas, Greg Williams.
There's a tremendous amount of useful information in MetroFarm for farming in or near the city.
Acres USA's Charles Walters.
MetroFarm tells how to convert an opportunity into a real going concern. Every chapter is organized around the logic of practicality. For every problem needing a solution, MetroFarm offers a progression of steps arranged in sequence so the desired goal is achieved.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning MetroFarm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
We're on the farm with Joel Salatin.
Would you like to buy homemade soup, backyard chicken, and the neighbor's artisanal lunch meat? The Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund protects your right to acquire the food of your choice from the source of your choice. I'm Joel Salatin from Polyface Farm, and I urge you to defend the right of neighbors to engage in direct food commerce. Join today at farmtoconsumer.org. The food of your choice from the source of your choice. That's farmtoconsumer.org. Farmtoconsumer.org. Thank you.
When you buy local American-grown flowers, flowers will grow and flourish in America. Hello, I'm Deborah Prinzing, author of Slow Flowers for Certified American-Grown Flowers. When you buy local flowers, you're helping our country's family farms reduce the transportation footprint of flowers and enjoy fresher, longer-lasting bouquets. So please, next time you shop for flowers, think local. Think Certified American-Grown Flowers. Visit AmericanGrownFlowers.org to learn more.
History buffs, this tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place aboard the USS Dale during the opening moments, 7 December 1941.
As we left our berth and got underway, the deck force was still engaged in getting ready for combat. Fuller had the job of clearing the deck of all the wooden objects that had collected in port, so Fuller was making his way aft, just tossing stuff like a madman, when he came to the ice cream freeze. Before he could toss it over the side, one of the guys said, "Hey, wait a minute!" In a matter of seconds, the lock was broken and the ice cream distributed among the crew. So, what you saw that morning was the USS Dale steaming hell-bent out to the channel while the guys back aft were standing by their guns, eating ice cream, and watching World War II break out all around.
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com.
So much to say,
so little time to say it, on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
So little time to say it, and there's so much to say. My goodness, we're talking about local grocers in a world dominated by giant Goliath corporations. And gosh, in the last few decades, we've lost 40% of our local grocers. And that has a huge impact on the foods we eat, because local grocers are close to us and can respond to us. And those corporate giants are far away from us and can't respond so quickly. And so today we are running into problems with our food. And one of them, I think, is the staff of life, bread. What happened to our bread, Gary Baskow? You're a baker. Your store is the staff of life. And now so many of us are having trouble with gluten intolerance. Do you have any idea what happened to wheat to cause this?
Well, I think that's sort of the little bit up in the air about the exact cause of it. But I think it's because a lot of people got into eating white flour bread and everything and and has developed a intolerance to the white flour part of it. Actually, some of the whole grains and some of the old wheats that are out there, like spelts and amaranth, really don't seem to bother people. The gluten doesn't seem to bother people that much in those kinds of breads. Whole grain breads are better. I think a lot of it has to do that people just got into consuming way too much white flour and sugar products. And
that's pretty much what white flour is, isn't it? Sugar?
Yeah.
When it gets right down to it?
Yeah.
And without all of the vitamins and minerals?
Yeah.
So how does your store, Staff of Life, come to grips with this need or this demand for gluten-free products?
Well, we actually bake some really great gluten-free breads that I think they're the best out there in the market. We do a lot of pastries gluten-free. Our gluten-free chocolate cake, I'd put up against anybody's any cake, whether it's got gluten in it or not. Yeah, it's so we've do a lot of vegan stuff in the bakery too. Our vegan turnovers are really great. So we try to mix it up. We'll do different kinds of grains that other people don't usually use. So it's kind of fun to experiment and also make a healthier products, and especially products that people can eat and don't have to give up their favorite desserts just because of the gluten in it.
So people can go get a loaf of gluten-free bread at Staff of Life, make their own sandwiches, and forget about being gluten intolerant.
Yeah, no, we have anybody that's tried our gluten-free bread is, it's number one rated, I think. We get people that especially come to the bakery if they don't even live in the area.
They heard
about the gluten-free bread, and they'll buy five loaves or six loaves and freeze some at home.
One of the fascinating things that I see in my years of observing food and agriculture is that it's really hard to satisfy an educated appetite in the city. City people like things that are very special. I mean, if you get a tomato that was grown in 10,000 acres of tomatoes, you're not going to take it to your neighbor's house and say, hey, look at this tomato I got. It's grown with 10,000 acres of other tomatoes. It's really cool. What people want is that vine-ripened, dry-farmed, heritage tomato grown organically at the farm up the road. And they want to take that to the neighbor and hold it up and say, look what I've got. And so it's very hard for the Goliaths of agriculture to provide for anything but commodities. And people don't want to eat commodities. They want to eat real foods. It seems to me like the local grocers are ideally situated to provide the kind of food city people really want to eat because of their proximity, one, to people, but also to the local agriculture. Is that you, Staff of Life?
Yeah, well, Staff of Life is, being that Staff of Life is actually in the farming business itself, with the avocado ranch that it's actually putting into the ground as we speak right now. We're up to a couple of hundred trees. We are tied into the local farmers. We know most of all the local farmers. We deal directly with them. We're not going through any middlemen or anything like that. So you can't get any fresher vegetables or fruits than you can get at Staff of Life. I mean, we are really close to the farming community in the area, and like I said, it's a direct delivery, and many, our store in Watsonville is 1 mile from Lakeside Organics headquarters, so there are like some 60 ranches and small ranches and farms. I mean,
a veritable paradise. Yes. Of local food, right? Yep. In the middle of it.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hard to beat that. Another thing about being local, of course, is that you have that relationship with the community. If you go to the big box store down the way here, you buy what they have to offer. And you, if you ask somebody for something, they'll kind of look at you like, what, are you crazy or something? It all comes from someplace else. And so we don't have any control over anything here. It just, it comes in on a truck. We put it on the shelves. You buy it, you buy it. If you don't, you don't. And we keep moving right along. But you have a different kind of relationship with the community, don't you?
Yeah, and I think we can also respond to the community's needs. I mean, like when they had the flood in the Pajaro area there, we were able to contact our main chicken supplier and cut a deal with him, and we were able to make a very sizable donation to the food bank of chicken and chicken parts. I mean, I think it was somewhere around 8,000 pounds, I think we gave during that flood time. So we are able to respond to the community, and the community comes to us, and we're tied in to the local people and what's going on in the local community.
Can you have a local grocer without local food?
I don't. That isn't Staff of Life, so so I wouldn't know.
I didn't know what you would sell. The reason I asked, I thought, I was thinking about this, is that what would you have to offer that would be unique that, yep, you couldn't get it at a box store?
Yeah.
Everything comes in plastic from 1,200 miles away.
Yep.
So without local food and that connection to the community, they really don't, really couldn't have a local grocery. I don't know how you could compete with the Goliaths.
No.
I just don't know how you would do it. Because you can do, being local, the one thing they can't do, which is those specialty things that are fresh and local. And it's hard for a Goliath to get that. Hard to do. So in a few minutes left, how would you start over today?
Start over today. I don't know if I'd want to start over today.
Yeah, but if you have a young entrepreneur, perhaps he or she is a baker, what would you do? How would you fit into this marketplace today? Back in 1970, it was pretty easy because you had a whole culture that was looking for something different. And you pretty much were there to provide that difference for them. And their taste grew, as their taste grew, your store grew. But do you see that kind of opportunity today somewhere?
Well, I mean, there are people opening natural food stores, and most of them are giant corporate structures that are doing it. There's not a lot of independents out there. And, you know, it's gotten a lot more expensive to open a grocery store. The, you know, the equipment now is a lot more expensive than it used to be, so it is a fair degree of, you know, it's quite a large investment to open a full-service grocery store.
Yeah, but you weren't a full-service grocery store when you started.
No, what, not starting that way, but when we went into Watsonville, we went in as a full-service store.
And, a turnkey. It was a beautiful new store with a beautiful new everything.
Yeah. So, like I say, those are not that cheap to put together anymore. And, you know, the competition is a lot more intense than it was when I started out. So you have a lot of Whole Foods around the country, all over the place. You're competing. Whole Foods has knocked out a lot of groceries, independent natural food stores. By in their early days, they like to find a group of them in a certain area and plop their store right in the middle. You can see how
close. It seems like that's what happened to Staff of Life here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Because you're surrounded.
Yeah.
Literally. Literally a half a stone's throw away, there's a Safeway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when Whole Foods came in and opened their door, our sales went down 17%, just almost instantly like that. They've been slowly climbing back up. We are higher. We're selling more than we were at that time now. The pandemic's hurt us a little bit. We're still trying to get our customer base back up to where it was before the pandemic, which is hasn't really gone. I think the CZU fire hurt us some in the sense that we had people from that area up there that were shoppers that have moved out of the county. But, you know, we've had to tighten up, you know.
Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Sure. What would happen if people quit eating good food?
I don't think they'd live as long.
For one thing, that's true.
I mean, it's...
And then we could all get our food in a can?
Yeah.
And it would be like living on a Navy aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Which I have, and the food gets pretty bad after a while.
Yeah, yeah. And I think food is one of the great pleasures of life, especially if you know it's really wholesome. And I think you can get all your nutrition and everything from eating good quality food. I mean... We are still putting a lot of stuff into our bodies, the forever chemicals, the PFASs that are on wrapping paper and all the plastics that are leaching out into where we have microplastics in our body now, everybody. That Consumer Report, I think they went out and did 1,000 different water all across the United States and didn't find one of the... one of them without microplastics in the water. So it's a lot of health issues. Cancer is still increasing. There's a lot of health issues that are coming down the pike from this, and they're starting to point the finger and say, hey, you know, you got to watch what you're putting in your body. It's contributing to these problems.
If you could reach out and talk to the consumers of the United States and say, this is in your hands. This is what you have to do to keep your local grocers alive. What would you tell them?
Well, I tell them to drive your car a little bit further down the road if you needed to get to your local grocer. I support them because they're really important to the community. You don't want to have your food supply dominated by the big box chains and everything. The local grocer, like you say, is going to gear his product specially for you in the community. And so take that extra little drive down the road. I think a lot of people are just, you know, oh, the closest grocery store, I'll just go there. You know, be damned if it's local or not. You know, it's just close and it's convenient. But, you know, go out of your way. Support your local grocery stores. There's very few of them in Santa Cruz. We're the last of the natural foods full service store. We have Shopper's Corner is another local store. They're a crossover store, sort of still conventional in many ways, but still local. That's about it. And as you know, if you run around, there's New Leafs and Whole Foods and all these other businesses that are owned by giant corporations that are not local anymore. And it's take that extra little, drive a little further, go around and try to patronize your local stores.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Gary Baskow, the co-founder of Staff of Life Natural Food Store. And in spite of standing alone in a whole crowded field of Goliath corporate grocery stores, surviving. And in doing so, providing our community with real food. With that, please remember Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. Farther you go from the source of your food, the less control you have over what's in your food. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.